Did you notice how nimbly I went up those steps? Not bad for an old man. A lot of guys my age have a difficult time doing that, but I'll give you guys a break. I won't mention any names this morning. Of course, all of us should become more nimble in the art of living. But to do that, we have to have Father's grace in our lives. More of it. That's a necessity for all of us. Good morning, Sacred Father. I'll be talking about you this morning. Yes, I'll be talking about you this morning. Sacred, most sacred Father, beloved, blessed. And I'll be talking about your divine Son, Father, as well. So, Michael, would you please keep your spirit of truth a little bit longer among us in this gathering, since there are more than three of us here today. And good morning to all of you and your angelic associates in this audience this morning. Did you know there are some cultures that routinely, when they greet one another, greet the individual in front of them, but they also greet their angels at the same time? There are some traditions that do that. Rather beautiful tradition. I think it anticipates a certain feature of light and life. And thank you, Barbara, for that warm introduction. I suppose you wouldn't mind coming after Father and Michael. But I appreciate your kindness. According to the Urantia book, the ability to comprehend is the mortal passport to paradise. It's a direct quote from the Divine Counsel. The ability to comprehend is the mortal passport to paradise. So it would appear that the ability to find God depends on our consciousness of Him, and that's the rub. A definition of consciousness that appeals to me is the notion of a, quote, inward awareness of an external object, state, or fact of what is really at stake in modern philosophy. Webster's Third New International Dictionary, my favorite dictionary. If this is extended to God, then the stakes are the highest possible, indeed. But we need not be overawed or intimidated by this, as many people seem to be. The beauty of a celestial revelation is the help it gives to the mortal side of things. The revelatory text in the Urantia book provides a necessary compensation for finite human mind to grasp something of the divinely infinite, and that's a big deal. As a proposition, this generalization is more than reasonable. It's quite attainable, I should say. Our consciousness of God and His consciousness of us are wonderfully, beautifully reciprocal. The Universal Father has even gone so far as to invest in us a perfect fragment of His nature as we make our way back to the source and center of all things and beings. Can you think of anything quite so intimate as indwelling the mind of another? Think about it. Intimate is the right characterization. Our relationship to our thought of justice is as intimate as it possibly can be. What a spectacle it must be to other beings that don't have this. There's every reason to believe and hope. I'll say that again. There's every reason to believe and hope that the pathway of this adventure, which starts in paradise, reaches down to individuals on the planetary shores of inhabited worlds, and then returns to paradise, will actually work. This is the core of our faith. The core of our faith. It is the safe harbor of our spiritual imagination in time and space. Yet the religion of the spirit depends on the content and quality of our mindset. Our ability to discern God depends ultimately on our sense and appreciation of His nature. It's the reciprocity, the harmony, the sensitivity, the intimacy. This is where revelation can come to the aid of evolutionary mind. Here then is my thesis. A truer, higher characterization of God's consciousness ought to assist us in developing a broader, deeper mental and spiritual culture for ourselves. A lot of people do not think of the mind as possessing a mental culture. They should, because it is. Culture can be used in a variety of ways, thought of in a variety of ways, and a spiritual culture, and integrated. Coming, therefore, to a better comprehension of God's nature, potentially, should allow us to achieve a status akin in our personal lives, to lighten life, perhaps closer to what Jesus accomplished. That's realistic. Why wait for the world to evolve? With this as a premise, it may be worthwhile to examine two general features about God presented in the first five papers in the Urantia book. The first feature, or dimension, consists of his name and what his name implies. And I will speak on that shortly. And the second feature is focused on salient characteristics of his divine nature. These little microphones are kind of short for us tall guys. Confounded machines. I think it is curiously revealing that, quote, the names which, this is divine counselor speaking now, not I, the names which the creature assigns to the Creator are much dependent on the creature's concept of the Creator. The first source and center has never revealed himself by name, only by nature. That's the absolute, first absolute humility. He would have, as Jesus talked in his sermon about why the heathen rage, behave yourself in such a way that others will be drawn to you, so you don't have to go to them with your message. That's the righteous life. Jesus taught that. Well, God demonstrates that by only revealing his nature, not his name. And we're drawn to him accordingly. That's a model for us as well, to be sure. I would like to suggest to you that the name we pick for God will undoubtedly be qualitatively proportional to the scope and depth of our consciousness of God's nature. Very subtle, very profound, very simple, and yet so far-reaching in possibilities, this relationship, these possibilities, potentialities. Utilizing the advantage given to us through the fifth epical revelation, let us take a look at the myriad of names others in the universe have given to God as a way to enlighten our awareness of him. And as a parenthetical thought, I would point out to you, I use only names that as I reread the five papers and culled these names from the first five papers. I realize that names use other papers, but I want that those papers are devoted to Father. Those are very special papers. Nobody else. I use only names in which the first letter of key words were capitalized, sort of giving them the weight of proper nouns. And I have a total of 30. There are a few more, but I stopped at 30. I like the way the two columns looked. I never said I wasn't eccentric. Perhaps even foolish. Well, definitely foolish. Certainly eccentric. Nobody collects angels like I do. It's not eccentric. But that's not foolish. Images of angels are good medicine. I even put one on my lecture book. Here, I'll hold it up for you so you can see it. 19th century French. Very endearing. I have hundreds of them. You'd be amazed how many there are. And they come to you. People bring them to me all the time. And others. The first name is God, of course, most universal. Universal Father, of course. First source and center, first Father, Paradise Father, Creator Father, I Am. Havona Father, universal center, infinite upholder, Father of lights, all-powerful one. Oh, I love this list. Supreme Soul. Universal controller, original and eternal personality. First source, creator, It's so wonderful to speak to an audience that appreciates and understands this. I cannot tell you the joy it is to be here. Universal Creator, Eternal and Universal Father, the Eternal, the Infinite, Father of Fathers, Spirit Father, Father of Universes, Divine Controller, Gift of Life. How delightful. Amen. Universal Disposer, Ancestor of all things, Primal Mind, and Our Father. This is perhaps the sweetest and most endearing. The Divine Counselor, the author of these first five papers, is correct in reminding us that the important consideration is for us to get, quote, to know Him and aspire to be like Him. Yet a name can define, shape, and guide one's consciousness of something or something, someone or something. Native American cultures, you're sometimes given a name because you've earned a new destiny. Crazy Horse of history, he's one of my figure I admire a great deal. Crazy Horse surrendered, but he never surrendered his self-respect and dignity. That's what the army soldiers wrote about him when he rode in. A great man, a noble man, sacrificed his pride, his male pride, to save his children of the tribe, of the clan. His father, when Crazy Horse was about 16 years old, according to one of his biographers, who knew men, interviewed men in the 1930s that knew Crazy Horse, they were old enough to know him, said his father gave his name away to his son, and his father was no longer called Crazy Horse. The son was now called Crazy Horse. Names have tremendous power. I've known people to pick names to shape the future development of their sons or daughters. Given our Agandanta circumstances, the predominance of the role of father in that list that I just read, the word father was used over a third of the time, emphasizes the power and grace of fathering in human personality existence. Fathering carries forth an attitude of love and respect that sets no conditions. Its consciousness, fathering that is, its consciousness is revealed as considerably greater than even brotherly or sisterly love. In speaking about the golden rule, Jesus taught that the highest of spiritual level, that on that level we should, quote, treat all men as we conceive God would treat them. That attitude potentially, with the thought of justice, will save this world yet. Revelation, then, teaches us that fatherhood is the procreational creature's greatest and most enduring thought picture of the nature of God, that is, our consciousness of Him, and one that ought to shape our attitude toward our fellow creatures. This is the godlike or fatherlike perspective, and it's the perspective that holds the view from above. Another way to say that is spiritual wisdom in contrast to genetic knowledge. And it's the product of celestial thinking and action, that is, fathering. As is mothering, of course, as well. In addition to the significance of his name, there is a second general feature of him alluded to earlier, consisting of spirit characteristics of Father's divine nature. I've identified 8 spirit characteristics. These are characteristics directly associated with him in the first 5 papers. So as I reread the papers, I also culled and wrote down every single time these characteristics were mentioned, usually as adjectives, were mentioned. They are living values of his perfect, infinite, eternal, universal, and absolute character. In light of his declaration that we should become perfect even as he is perfect, we ought to make every effort to incorporate his virtues into our own character. We should do this wholesome attempt at wholesome discipline by being gentle with ourselves. Thank you, Andre. We agree. It's important. Discipline is important to the development of character, to be sure. And wholesome discipline is very important, but we should be gentle with ourselves at the same time. That's called balance. Hence the importance of identifying the Father's value judgments. They can become, to the best of our ability, a kind of behavioral marker of our consciousness of Him and a manifestation as well toward our fellow mortals. As I reread the papers, I counted the number of times these 8 living values of God were mentioned. Using them as a kind of criteria, certain assessments may be offered concerning the potential for shaping human comprehension of our Father deity. Here are the 8 divine facets of our beloved Father, from the most frequently mentioned to the least referenced: love, goodness, wisdom, mercy, righteousness, truth, justice, beauty. I'll say it again. Love, goodness, love, goodness, wisdom, mercy, righteousness, truth, justice, beauty. Love was mentioned 69 times. If I missed one or two either way, it will not offset the result. But I did it conscientiously. But I might have missed one. Maybe I didn't. As well, that possibility as well. We would. Love was mentioned 69 times, goodness 28 times, wisdom 21 times, mercy 18 times. The Divine Counselor mentions righteousness 16 times in those first 5 papers, mentions truth 15 times as part of God's nature, justice 12 times, beauty 8 times. Therefore, love, perhaps as no surprise, is the winner. Love, goodness, and mercy make up a total of 115 mentioned in the first 5 papers by the Divine Counselor in his effort to describe God to us, the nature of God. Yet goodness and mercy added up to 46 do not total more than love. So goodness and mercy together don't total more than love. While mercy is love applied and reflects the presence of goodness, it, mercy that is, requires wisdom, insight, and foresight, hence those 4 first ones: love, goodness, wisdom, and mercy. Interestingly, the Divine Counselor chose to point to love, goodness, and wisdom and mercy 136 times, or more than twice the other 4 characteristics combined, which were righteousness, the second set of 4, or the least 4, righteousness, truth, justice, and beauty. But I don't want to take this compartmentalization of mine too far, at least you starting to worry. Some of you who are philosophers would, particularly if you have an Eastern non-dualistic orientation. All of these relative numbers are I appreciate your kindness and graciousness and your humor, your understanding. All of these relative numbers are merely concessions to my time-bound mind, obviously. For instance, all of the Father's love is beautiful, true, and good. Beauty is mentioned 8 times, love 69 times, but all of the Father's love is beautiful. His mercy is righteous, and his justice based entirely on truth, his wisdom beautiful, yet love prevails. So there's an interesting lesson, rather subtle lesson in all that. Taken together, the sequence of 8 perfect virtues profiles our Father's generous character. Here I'm going to reconstruct the characterization paralleling the 8 between from love to beauty. Just another paraphrase. I like to paraphrase. The profiles of our Father's generous character, graciously divine attitude, unerring insight and foresight, forgiving nature, perfectly correct behavior, absolute reality, fairness, and attractive harmony. His consciousness toward his creatures are really better described as, who are better described as his children. We are creatures, but we're really better described as children. It's more to the point, existentially. Experientially. His consciousness is a joy for us to behold toward us and for anybody else to observe us. Still, his love, unfettered, I want to emphasize this again, his love, unfettered and unconditional devotion, such as it is, prevails as the chief feature of his divinely complete and replete nature. And here I'll summarize so far. I would summarize the first 5 papers in 2 words: Father's love. It's a Father's love. That's the first 5 papers. That's the essence of those papers. A Father's love. Isn't that remarkable? It is not incredible, but it is amazing. It is amazing. James, there was a song written about that. Amazing, I think, at one point. It's a Father's love, for sure, combining the primacy of a name with the fundamental value of this singular deity, a father's love. The identity and character of the universal father are indeed reflective of the divine consciousness and can certainly serve us simultaneously as a guide for forming and refining our own consciousness of him. Then in turn, this becomes the basis of our attitude. To the extent that we internalize God's, we can and do and will internalize and act upon, internalize God's virtues. That will then shape our attitude toward those who are behind us in development, on par with us in development, and ahead of us in development, in the supernal ascension scheme of personality perfection. I am most grateful, Sacred Father, for these revelations from on high of your incomparable nature. The Urantia book itself constitutes another demonstration of your providential oversight and affection, an affectionate devotion as you delegate power and grace. I would like to take this opportunity, dear Father, to express some of the range and depth of my appreciation for you by paraphrasing some of the statements in the Urantia book from those first five papers. A book for me, Father, which is sweet soul music. I've been waiting a number of years to say that to an audience. The Urantia book for me is sweet soul music. For some reason it's important, I say it. Sweet soul music, Father. So I come now to worship you, Father, unbidden, in true liberty and joy. You, God, are alone. There is none beside you. You have created the heaven and the heaven of heavens. With all the hosts, you preserve and control them. You cover yourself with light as with a curtain, and stretch out the heavens as a curtain. You are the everlasting God who inhabits eternity. You are universal spirit, eternal truth, infinite reality, father personality. You are the infinite spiritual reality. You are the sovereign, eternal, immortal, and absolutely majestic person. In you we all live and move and have our being. Your understanding is infinite. Your greatness is unsearchable. You do great and marvelous things without number. You are the Lord who changes not, the Father of lights in whom there's no variableness nor shadow of changing. Your counsel shall stand according to your eternal purpose, which you placed with your sons. You are righteous and just, your natural laws wise, and your spiritual mandates righteousness. Your mercy is the logical, inevitable offspring of goodness and love. Thank God Almighty for that. You are the Lord who executes loving kindness in judgment. You are love. Not about love. He is love. Your love is universal. Whosoever will may come. You would have all men be saved by coming into the knowledge of this truth. As Jesus told Peter, the enemy might have you, but I would not lose you. You were not willing that any should perish. Lord, have mercy. You are not willing that any should perish. Never forget that. Not only is God who he is, but he loves us with an absolute personal love equally. No conditions. No qualifications. In all our afflictions, you are afflicted with us. I don't know how that's possible, but it is. You are our Father, a real Father, a true Father, the universal Father. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from you, the Father of lights. You are the eternal refuge of the souls of your sons and daughters. You heal the brokenhearted. You bind up the wounds of the sin-sick soul. Lord, your all-powerful benefactor, as you heal and respond to the cries of the brokenhearted, you know our down-sittings and our uprisings. All things are open to you. You understand what we have need of even before we ask it of you. Ain't it wonderful? You know that we know that you are at hand as well as far off. That is wonderful. That you are ever present and all pervading. That your spirit is everlasting and indwells in the mind of every mortal. Because of you and your divine Son, we have a spirit friend and partner within our very heart, a guide toward eternal destiny. There is no power but you, Father, consistent with your divine nature. All things are possible with you. You can make a way even when there appears to be to us no way. He can make a way when there's no way. I don't really understand that, but I know it to be true. He can make a way when there's no way. He can make a way. You are absolutely secured and everlastingly enthroned at the paradise source and center of all things as the beneficent Father of all intelligent beings. You are the one God and Father of all, who is above all and in all. You go before all things. In you all good things consist. You are above all and in all, and you go before all things. In you all good things consist. It is a reoccurring wonder to me, dear Father. It is indeed, my friends, brothers and sisters, it is indeed. It is a reoccurring wonder to me, precious Father, that somehow you validate that creature faith which dares to challenge each repeated episode of mortal existence when confronted by the awful spectacle of human limitations. By the unfailing declaration, even if I cannot do this, there lives in me one who can and will do it, a part of you, the Father absolute of the universe of universes, and that is the victory which overcomes the world, even our faith. God bless you.